We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We do have a party. We throw it daily, 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and you are in it right now. We got you for 4 hours in our grips. Rick Hamlet, John Michaels, The Preacher Man, M.O., we are all here. The morning show is departing, and it is our turn. We are brimming with football, basketball, baseball opinions. We've got Grant McCauley coming out. We're going to talk a little bit of NBA here in this segment. A lot of football in the next segment when we ask the question, like you talked with John, are the Patriots done as we know them? I love John Fricke. He's a bad bleep in this business. I completely disagree that Tom Brady has thrown his last pass in the Super Bowl. I completely disagree with that.
I will save my opinion on the Patriots and Tom Brady and Bill Belichick and all that until 10:20. Because we'll spend some time talking about that. I did ask him about the horse poo scenario. John's the only one that would take it. He said 500 grr and he's in. Wendy and Hugh said there's not enough money. Actually, Wendy said $256 million.
What? She's delusional. I guarantee you show her with a stack of cash, maybe 10 grand, she'd eat it.
See, I don't go with 10. I think Wendy's got a little more pride than that.
Yeah, I go north.
She's a gas producer, trust me. We need money.
If there was a Brinks truck with $500 million in cash in it, and then you had a little teaspoon with feces on it, I believe all of us would go ahead and open our mouths.
You show up with two front row tickets to Dancing with the Stars, and Wendy would do it.
Or The Bachelor, right? Exactly. Does she love The Bachelor?
Send her to Bachelor in Paradise to film that for 6 weeks. She's good to go.
You're talking about every Justin Timberlake album signed and a picture with JT, done.
You replace her with the selfie kid from the Super Bowl, she's in.
So what has been more of the fallout, pop culture-wise, about Justin Timberlake's halftime show? Has there been even more buzz, or was there just the buzz from Sunday?
Most I got was positive feedback. There are some, you know, and this is kind of the contrarian world we live in. There's always the people that are going to say it sucked and it's horrible. You know what I get with that, Mark? It used to be cool to be on the opposite side. Oh, that's horrible. Now everybody says it's horrible. So it's like, dude, you're not cool anymore just crapping on a halftime performance. I don't understand what people want at this point. Like, actually, I do. And Mark and I were breaking this down yesterday off the. You know what makes people happy for the halftime performance? If their band performs the songs that they want. I'm not a Rolling Stones fan, but you know what? They did a really good halftime show. I'm not a Lady Gaga fan. She did a good halftime show. Now, would I have rather seen Justin Timberlake? Sure. Would I have rather seen Bruno Mars? Sure. Sometimes you got to give these people the credit they deserve.
Are people – I'm hand sanitizing vigorously the station over here. I heard John coughing and sneezing, and I said, John, how you feeling? He's like, not that good. And I want to stay – like I said, I'm fighting the good fight here. So if I do get sick, Sean Thompson, if I am calling out sick in a day or two, I blame it on John Fricke. Where were we? Is anybody blasting the halftime show?
Oh, yeah.
Who – possibly just, could criticize that show.
Random Twitter people.
Just haters, right?
Yeah, just, I mean, there's that.
Because they're born to hate, yeah, right?
People are taking a 10-minute performance and putting too much stock into it. Like, I know that.
But it was, like, perfect, M.O. I'm a rock and roll guy. It was awesome.
And in JT's defense, you can't not mention Prince. You're in Minnesota.
Can't do it.
You can't not ignore him. Whether he plays a song, does a cover, does a poster of him, the field go purple, you can't ignore Prince. So JT was damned if you do, damned if you don't for him.
Well, and people wisely on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line sent me some links yesterday. Apparently, part of the pushback of him doing the Prince thing is there were some beef with him and Prince back in like 2007. Apparently JT took a subtle or not so subtle shot at Prince on one of his songs. I don't know. It was 2007. You know, unfortunately, Prince isn't here to defend himself anymore.
I think people should move on, man. I think people should move on. And let's talk some sports, man. But behind the glasses, check in with our guys, Mark Owens and Paul Bible. How y'all living today, man? Everything good?
We have a very early Vision Computer Twitter poll up right now because we're kind of talking about, all right, football's over. Catch your breath. Let's move on. So our Vision Computer Twitter poll question for today, with football done, what are you focusing on now? And we obviously only have room for four options, so if you have something different, feel free to reply to us. But your options are MLB and spring training, NBA/college basketball, MLS and Atlanta United specifically, or I tried to fit three in at once, NASCAR Golf Olympics. Olympics start this weekend, Winter Olympics. And right now, been up for about 2 hours now. Early leading in the votes is NBA and college basketball.
Here we go.
This one's close at 32%, 30% MLS, 28% baseball, 10% other, and a couple people responding back. Somebody said monster trucks. Somebody said Olympics. Somebody said the draft.
Yeah, well, the draft and the offseason will be huge. I guarantee I will put $2 on it right now. MLS
put the
wins.
Juice boxes that I just gave you.
No, because I'm taking some of these juice boxes and I'm going to hand them to Grant McCauley for our fantasy football league. He's already sending out strongly worded text messages.
Uh-oh.
To people that have not paid. Honestly, I just don't carry cash, and I forgot. I'll make sure he gets his money today.
So were those the same people that stopped setting their lineup in May?
No, most of these. Football, matter of fact, I should get kudos. I lost Aaron Rodgers and David Johnson and still almost made the playoffs.
I thought we were talking about the baseball league, not the football league.
Baseball is Knox, and he's on the list, so come see me in the hallway.
Preacher man, I'm confused, man. But Knox did win the fantasy baseball league.
I'm confused. Just like I'm confused, what the blank is up with traffic these past 2 days? It's like the bridge is out again. God forbid that ever happens. But, I mean, it's crazy. Driving to work, I mean, all of us have had this issue. I don't know what's going on. It's like there's no accidents on the way that I'm coming, but I'm letting Waze direct me. So, you know, I'm like a little kid. It's like follow the leader. It says turn left, I turn left, and hopefully it gets me to work. But it's still taking me an hour and a half the past 2 days to get to work.
Does it make any sense to anybody that the far right-hand lane on I-20 was shut down today for whatever reason right at Glenwood and Moreland, where it's already a bleep show?
But was there anybody actually working there?
I actually got off at Glenwood and then went back streets and was only a little bit late. I would have been a lot bit late. And Preacher Man, that's
what's up.
The sports world never stops. So if you missed anything, Rick and John are here to tell you what's up.
What's up, Holmes?
I think he's a smart enough guy, plenty smart enough to know the value of having really good players around him. And so, you know, we live in a closed cap system, so there's only so many dollars available. You want to have enough to be allocated to other players competitively.
Well, that's Arthur Blank. We're going to spend some time later in the show. What is a Falcons-friendly deal for Matt Ryan? We'll try to break down the best we can, doing some numbers, how this could work out. Arthur Blank sort of alluding to, you got to have some cap money for everybody else. Julio's got his deal. Matt's going to get his deal. How do you maneuver the money around to make it nice? I will tell you now, for everybody's concerned, well, Tom Brady didn't take his money. That's not true. He got his money in different ways. He gets it through signing bonuses. It may not be directly his yearly salary as this. I'll actually break down that Matt Ryan has done that before to help the team, and I'm sure he'll do it again. We'll try to figure out what that cap-friendly deal will be, though.
I'm going to say it now, and I'm going to say it throughout the offseason until this deal is struck. I believe that Matt Ryan should have his ears to the ground. I believe that Matt Ryan should be cognizant of the streets and how they perceive him, and it's not that good. And what I would do is I would make it very public through Adam Schefter, Ian Rappaport, Vaughn McClure, Mike Conti, D-Led, I would leak it out that I have left money on the table to help this team. And so, and not actually just moving money around and deferring payments and getting cute with economics, but literally leaving some money on the table just for the public relations of it and the optics of it. Why are you shaking your head?
I'm sorry, I don't give one crap what Jim and McDonough, Tony and Sandy Springs, Cindy and Marietta think. I'm a quarterback of the NFL. I need to care what they think about my contract? No. Just like Jim and McDonough, Cindy and Marietta, if people in their office don't like them, yet they can go get more money, they're not going to go, you know, I took a little less so you can get more on your raise. I'm sorry, fans, it's awesome. We care. We love you guys. You're obviously the lifeblood of the NFL. Matt Ryan doesn't owe you a blood nickel. Get your money, Matt.
I disagree. Well, it's apples and oranges when you compare it to a corporate setting because you're not talking about the money. And Matt Ryan, of course, is already on a mountain of money that he probably will never be able to spend. And he's going to basically double that with his next contract. I think it would be a good PR move. John, I'm talking about peanuts for Matt Ryan. I'm talking about a million here, a million there over the course of a long-term deal. And you're right. He may not care about what – he may be tone-deaf to what's going on the streets, but we hear it every day, John. And I wouldn't say it's hate, but I would say it's distrust, dislike. And if I were Matt Ryan, I would be cognizant of that, and I would try to repair that. So, officially, we have our first disagreement of the show, and I don't like it.
Don't worry about my money. Let me just go out and play football. You know what? The hate's going to be – Matt Ryan can win 3 Super Bowls, and there's going to be people in this city hate him.
This town was obsessed with Joe Johnson's money.
Yes.
What's north of obsessed? Because that's where they are with Matt Ryan's money. I don't know. Like, that's just who I am. Like, to me – I'm not a greedy guy, and I'm not accusing Ryan of any greed. Like, he's a capitalist trying to maximize his cash. I would, for the sake of the conversations on bar stools and barbershops, I would leave a little money. I would take a little bit of a haircut.
The difference there, though, Joe Johnson was paid more than LeBron James, Chris Bosh, and Dwayne Wade were in that offseason. That didn't make any sense because he's not on the same plane as any 3 of those guys.
You're right. But, John, the problem with the Joe Johnson complaints was – like I asked people at the time, people on the phone with me on this radio station, if your boss had a contract on the table to overpay you, mm-hmm. would you shove it back to your boss or would you put pen to paper?
Oh, no,
every single one of them would put pen to paper. So why were you crushing Joe Johnson all of those years? It was the Hawks' fault. They didn't negotiate against any other team. They negotiated against themselves. They panicked. They overpaid Joe Johnson. I don't know. We can move on, man. But if I were Matt Ryan, I would leave a little bit on the table. Those Hawks are in action tonight, John, against the Grizz.
Well, and if this is a game you'll hear right here on Sports Radio 92.9, the game right before the trading deadline. We're going to spend some time later in the show. Who for the Hawks is untouchable? I have one name, and that's it when it comes to the trading deadline. Now, I'm not going to take stupid deals. You know, you're not going to offer me peanuts for Dennis Schroeder. But John Collins, to me, is the only guy right now that I'm keeping off the table when it comes to trade talks.
I mean, you'd have to come strong at Schroeder. You'd have to come strong at Prince. But I agree that the one untouchable on this team is, well, there's 2 untouchables on this team. The Hawks pick is going nowhere, and John Collins is going nowhere. Speaking to John Collins and Torian Prince, who I would love to hang on to, but for the right deal, I would move him. He is going to join John Collins in the rookie sophomore game. There was an injury to Malcolm Brogdon, so the Hawks will be well represented on All-Star Friday night on TNT. Collins and Prince will be running. Donovan Mitchell has been named the replacement for Aaron Gordon. The hip injury is going to keep Gordon out, and Donovan Mitchell will now be in the dunk contest. Next year, I presume John Collins will be there. And, John, as we move on to what's up, the trade rumors are really picking up steam, man. Mm-hmm. And if you're Cleveland, these next 3 days determine the future of your franchise for the next 5 to 10 years. They must trade LeBron James, in my opinion. I think he's walking. I've gotten intel that Dan Gilbert wants his team back. He's already preparing for LeBron James to walk. DeAndre Jordan is being mentioned in trade rumors, maybe to the Wizards and maybe to the Cavaliers. But, John, the intel that I gave y'all a couple of days ago about Gilbert is not giving up the Brooklyn Nets pick, not giving it up. And that's been substantiated with a report that I read today that the Cavaliers want to trade their first-round pick for DeAndre Jordan, but not the top 10 pick. Yeah, so the rumors are swirling.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see between now and Thursday, do they come off of those demands, because that's dead team walking right now. As they're currently constructed, they're not getting out of the Eastern Conference. And I've never said that about a LeBron team in almost a decade. Hey, one more note quick, but that's what's up. Atlanta United losing a very good player. Yamil Asad, a guy who had 7 goals, 13 assists for the 5 Stripes last year, going to D.C. United. D.C. going to send about $500,000 in allocation money to Atlanta for Assad's MLS rights. They will also pay $300,000 in loan fees to Velez, a team that Atlanta United was paying for him to have him on loan. It's going to match basically $1 million option on a buy. So Yamil Asad gone from Atlanta United.
John, I assume with the faith and trust I have in Atlanta United management that he was a surplus player based on the additions that they have made, right? I don't feel like they're letting him go and creating a hole on the team. But we'll talk with Jason Longshore more about that tomorrow.
Is this the end of the Patriots as we know them? We'll break that down next on Sports Radio Net.
You know, they played really well. We just came up a little bit short. You know, we fought to the end, just didn't make the plays. Didn't make all the plays we needed to make. You know, when you play a team that plays really well, then you got to equal that. And I would say we played less than that.
That's Tom Brady. And, John, no, this is not the end of the Patriots as we know them. Here's the thing. A lot of people are tired of the Patriots winning all the time. I'm included in that club. But a lot of those people, John, are putting this out there. Brady's going to retire. There's drama between Belichick and Brady via the Alex Guerrero workout guy thing. You've got the drama now with Bill Belichick and Malcolm Butler. Look, this is not the Bulls with Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, and Phil Jackson, who all departed after they won the championship in 1998. That's not what's going on here. Rick and John here in the Kia Studios. Is this the end of the Patriots as we know them? That is the question. And really, John, I don't think either of us, I don't know where your opinion is. I don't think this is the end of the Patriots as we know them. I think that these Patriots with the GOATs are going to be rocking and rolling for at least two or three more years. And I'm not going to guarantee anything, but I think I'm very confident that they will win at least another championship, okay? I don't think they're done making Super Bowls and winning Super Bowls. So, but we're having this conversation because it's all around the country on sports talk. Is this the end of the Patriots? So we kind of have to sort of weigh in with our opinions on this. So we'll take your calls, 404-741-0929. But unfortunately, those cats that win every game in every division and make the Super Bowl virtually every year, they're going nowhere.
To be the man, you got to beat the man. And yes, Philadelphia was able to slay the dragon that is the New England Patriots. But for me or anybody else out there to be naive enough to go, it's just going to be the end of the rope and they're going to fall off the cliff today and that's going to be the end. Until Tom Brady retires, they're always going to be a team that's got the puncher's chance, to say the least, in the AFC. This was not a quintessential Patriots team. This was not one of the Patriots teams that were, you know, you knew when you got to the Super Bowl that this was the group. You know what they did this year? They were able to get through things basically based off the fact that they have Tom Brady and his brilliance. He's the first quarterback in NFL history to throw for north of 500 yards, three touchdowns with no interceptions, and lose a game. So that'll tell you how great he was in the Super Bowl and how rare it was for them to be beat. Defensively, they were never good this year. They had moments, and they were fifth in the league giving up points, but they gave up a ton of yards. They bent but didn't break all season long. Unfortunately for them in the Super Bowl, they broke against the Philadelphia Eagles. They do have questions about some pending free agents that are going to be out there. But to think that Bill Belichick and Tom Brady won't find a way with a new OC, a new DC, probably a few new pieces to get right back to where they are, I think people are crazy to think that.
A couple things I want to add to that. You mentioned, you know, the greatness of Tom Brady got them through this year, and that certainly is true, but the greatness of Bill Belichick got them through this year. Think about it. No Chandler Jones. He's rocking a million sacks down in Arizona right now. You lose Ninkovich. You know, you have just kind of a weird turnover year with that defense. Guess what? To John's point, they gave up a ton of yards. They were still unbelievable in points allowed, the most important category. You can do everything you want in between the 20s. You get inside the 20, and that's when they tighten the screws on you and you don't score and you settle for three. Philadelphia didn't have to settle for three. They went pedal to the metal. So, and John, you know, when I was doing my walk on Sunday and drifting off to these football thoughts, I'm like, what's the best defensive system of all time? And I'm like, Buddy Ryan's 46 defense, right? The 85 Bears to me is the best defense of all time. And you had to have the talent and the system.
Sure.
And obviously, when Belichick has the talent with his system, he has an invincible defense. I think what Belichick has built over this, you know, 20-odd years with his defense and all these championships, I think it's the second best defensive system of all time.
Very well, maybe. The Buddy Ryan system was a flash on, flash off defense. It was really good in 85, and then when teams figured out how to attack it, there's still teams that use 46 principles, and you'll hear Arch talk about the bare front and what they do to run some of that stuff. But that defense worked really well early, and then teams figured out, okay, here's how you beat it, and it flamed out. Belichick, through different defensive coordinators and whatnot, has always seemed to have this defense work. Same thing with Nick Saban in college. You've switched defensive coordinators, yet Saban's imprint's always been there, and it's always worked. When you look at the Patriots, they do have four free agents that I look at and go, okay, what do you do with these guys? Nate Solder's a free agent. That's your left tackle. Was paid almost $11 million this year. Probably going to command a big number in the open market. Do they re-sign him? Malcolm Butler, bye-bye. See ya. That misstep in the Super Bowl, and they were already looking to trade him in the offseason before this year. Malcolm Butler will be gone. Danny Amendola is a free agent. I think he's another guy. Bye-bye. They've proven over the years that receivers are interchangeable in that system.
I disagree with you there because I think Danny Amendola, I don't think he's looking to go make $4 or $5 million. I don't know if $4 or $5 million per year is out there for him. I see him coming back.
He may.
Kind of at their terms. I don't think he's going to put the screws to him for a big raise. I think Amendola is going to stay.
And the other guy that's a free agent is Deion Lewis. And Rex Burkhead is as well. So if you want two running backs, they probably want to bring one of the two of those guys back.
And again, Deion Lewis and Burkhead are going to be low-do guys. It wouldn't be a surprise. At least one of those guys will be back. Wouldn't surprise me if two of them were back. You mentioned Brady retiring, and of course you're not saying he will.
Not.
A lot of people are merely hoping that he will. And you know, I heard on the morning show, and I've heard other people talking about Belichick and Brady as a package deal, and they're going to retire together and all this kind of stuff. That might happen, okay? But I think it's too easy to say that because, John, I want to take you back to about 10 years ago. Greg Popovich and Tim Duncan. The narrative was, when Duncan retires, Pop is going to retire.
Right.
Okay, but then Kawhi Leonard pops up, and the Spurs keep winning. You get LaMarcus Aldridge. My point is, life goes on. Mm-hmm. The show must go on. And a guy like Greg Popovich, how hard is his life, right? He's got this coaching thing down, right? All he does is when they're on the road, have these lavish dinners with the wine and, you know, the pop dinner. It's like a famous thing in the NBA. Pretty good life. Think Bill Belichick has a pretty good life? He's delegated everything he needs to delegate. He is the dude. I don't think he's going anywhere. So you can think that Brady and Belichick are a package deal. I would not take that for granted. If Brady retires in a couple of years, does that necessarily mean Belichick will retire at the same exact time? I would bet against that.
Yeah, and I don't think either one of them are going anywhere for the next couple of years. And the narrative that Tom Brady's leaving is nonsense.
Are you buying the Brady and Belichick are a package deal and they ride off into the sunset together?
If it's 3 or 4 years from now, yeah, potentially. You could very easily see both of them because Belichick, you wonder, unless you find the next guy, do you want to go through what's going to be a rebuild? And the next quarterback behind Tom Brady, he's going to have huge britches to fill. Pop got his thing because you got a Kawhi Leonard. You had a Tony Parker still there. You already had a Manu Ginobili to use that. So he knew he was still going to have a high-level basketball team. And, oh, by the way, they signed LaMarcus Aldridge. So you kept what was a competitive group. You lose Tom Brady unless you find the next big thing at quarterback. I could see 3 or 4 years from now Belichick saying, okay, I'm leaving as well.
And to my point, in terms of Pop finding Kawhi, think about how they found Kawhi. They traded George Hill to the Indiana Pacers for their draft pick for Kawhi Leonard, thinking that he was going to be the next Bruce Bowen. They didn't know he was going to become an MVP candidate, but he worked and worked and worked, and now he is where he is. So, but look, New England found Garoppolo.
Yeah.
Garoppolo's a stud. This is a future Pro Bowler in the NFL. So I like their chances of finding what's next again. And it may be in this draft. They may go third or fourth round on one of these quarterbacks that's maybe in the second or third tier. And you know, Mike White, the guy that killed it in the Senior Bowl, I don't know, maybe he's that guy. So I would actually bet on New England to find that next guy like the Spurs found Kawhi.
Take a call or two here, 404-741-0929. John's in Marietta, wants to sound off. John, do you think it's the end of the Patriots as we know them?
Yeah, I do, actually. Tom Brady, he had some real lob passes, and Rob Gronkowski is considering a retirement. So, I mean, a lot of the pieces kind of breaking up.
But are you really coming at me with Brady threw a few bad passes in the Super Bowl, bro? He threw for 500 yards.
Yeah, I'm
just saying, love you. Thanks for the call. I mean, the Gronk thing, okay, maybe. If Gronk doesn't come back, then the Patriots, as we know them, are dead.
They went to the Super Bowl last year without Gronk.
Good point. But Gronk is the best tight end in football. And if he retires, then that's not the same team. You see what I'm saying?
No, I get that.
Because Gronk had a monster year this year, and Gronk had a monster Super Bowl.
But Gronk's also been a guy that throughout the duration of his career has missed games. And they've survived just fine.
But he's been on the roster, John.
Yeah, I get
that. That's what I'm saying.
But when he's not on the field, it doesn't help him win a game. You know, he got knocked out of the Jacksonville game. They played better when he was out of the game.
I don't know about all that. I mean, that was to me, Jacksonville powering down and New England just executing. But if Gronk leaves, then the Patriots, as we know them, are dead. Do you think Gronkowski's retiring?
No.
I don't think Gronk is retiring.
When you ask these guys 15 minutes after a Super Bowl, are you leaving? How many guys didn't Le'Veon or Ben Roethlisberger 15 minutes after a game this year? Might be time for me to hang him up. Nobody believed that.
Let me take you back to the day, the 1990s. Every time Charles Barkley would lose a playoff series, Charles, what's going on? I think I'm done. I think I'm out. I think I'm retiring. He played people don't remember this. Charles Barkley played the retirement game a lot towards the end of his career when he got at the end of the Suns and then with the Rockets. Charles kept kind of teasing us with the retirement talk. And that's why when Ben Roethlisberger does it, John, every year, it takes me back to Charles. Because it's like, Charles, I'm not buying it. You're coming back next year. Ben, I'm not buying it. You're coming back next year. Mm-hmm. And the Patriots, as we know them, are not dead.
No, they're not dead. And you're in the AFC East with the craptastic Dolphins, the horrible Jets, and the mediocre at best Buffalo Bills. There's five or six wins a year just sitting there waiting for you. Take a break. We come back. It'll be a slice of life coming up next. What gets under your skin? What actually makes you mad this hour of the program to not make Mark Owens mad? Brought to you by the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer. We ask that question with you guys next on Sports Radio 92.9. The Game.
The Game.
I actually can't believe what I just saw. We need to use the studio for 15 f***ing minutes. Just everybody, you know.
Tom Brady had a concussion. Do you think it might lead to CTE? Do you think he might die prematurely because of it? Tom Brady had a concussion. My God, we got to change the rules.
Stop the hammering. I'll go down to the floor myself and stop it. Keep the commercial break going.
How many people have zero common sense? The bridge is going to collapse again. Yes, that is exactly what they've done to get this thing done faster.
Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live. Thing sucks.
It's our slice of life. Shout out to Mark Owens for putting that rip together. I mean, the Bill O'Reilly and Chris Berman rants are two of my favorite things on planet Earth. Hey, man, it's the slice of life, and it's brought to you by Shane Company. Blow her mind, not your budget, with an engagement ring from Shane Co., your friend in the jewelry business. Okay, so you've got two TV guys there, like, melting down. Actually, three. You had the guy talking about the hammering.
Vince O'Donnell.
You had three TV guys freaking out right there. You may be wondering, hey, Kamla, you've been on NBA TV a long time, 16 years if you're scoring at home. John, I have never, ever, ever lost it on the air like that or off the air. It's just not cool. I've had to have a conversation with an analyst, a former ball player. I've had to have a conversation with an analyst who's a writer, and just sort of a confrontational kind of thing, but like no voices raised and all that. So I can't relate with Bill O'Reilly and Chris Berman and the hammer dude there. I can't relate with getting that beat up and mad on the air. So just in case you guys were wondering about that, no, I have not melted down at NBA TV.
You haven't melted down here yet. We have all had our disagreements in studio, but I think our show, more than some of the other shows on this station, much more functional.
We're men.
Yeah,
we're adults.
There's not a lot of screaming and yelling.
Actually, that sounded like a shot. They're men and adults,
yeah,
and women on the other shows too. I was just trying to pump us up.
They fight more than we do.
I don't know about that. That's no comment.
Oh, I do, because when I see them going, when I see either one of them going, either show going in Terry's office at 10:05, and they're in there till noon, you know something's going on. When there's paint peeling off the wall of people yelling at each other, you know there's something going on. We've been in his office twice. Usually it's for, well, you know, guys, you're wearing Miami stuff again. And, you know, Rick, I don't want to hear about the NBA in October. Just don't want that to happen.
Got you, Terry.
Rick, you can't talk about a city like that. Okay, Rick?
Really?
I wasn't there that day.
Yeah, really? Thanks, sir. I appreciate it. I got to go. All right. Well, I'm going to sit here and yell the rest of your show for another 2 hours.
I was in the grocery store getting yelled at by Arch, and I was like, dude, I'm not even at work. Why are you mad at me? Leave me alone. I didn't do anything. But seriously, the slice of life is pretty simple. What gets under your skin? You guys can text at 404-741-0929. Things that just get under your skin.
Okay, a couple of things here. People who mess with my money get under my skin.
Oh, yeah. Don't play with them.
And you mentioned Terry Fox. Well, Terry has told me about some former hosts here who have gone into his office and tried to get my seat. Mm-hmm. You're dead to me. Mm-hmm. You know who you are, and you're dead to me. Messing with my money. Now you're messing with my family, and that's when I'm a lover, not a fighter. That's when the fighter comes out.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I push too hard. People who disrespect me gets under my skin. I just disrespect. Look. First of all, I'm 48. I'm a grown bleep man, mm-hmm. but I've accomplished some things in life, and I do it with humility. But when I get disrespected, I freak out and I lose it. That is like the cardinal sin with me. A couple others here. And this is a complaint that really has ramped up lately, John. People who speed up to keep you from entering their lane when there's a gap. That's the key part of this. I am not
talking to you, John.
I'm not cutting people off, okay? That somebody's on their phone and they have left a gap, mm-hmm. and it is the lane I want to be in.
Right.
And when I turn my blinker on and then get into that gap, they speed up and almost ram me in the butt. It drives me insane.
Friday at 1:40, you will hear that again.
Oh, because I said butt?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I said butt. You said
You said
that.
Ram.
All right, couple other things. I did, didn't I? A couple other things. Falcons losses make me mad.
Yeah, they should. Right now, they do.
They make me mad, especially that Philadelphia loss. We were texting before the Super Bowl, and I told you guys I was thinking about play calling deficiencies in the damn Philadelphia game 2 weeks later on Super Bowl Sunday. Falcons losses make me mad. And one more thing, John. Chris Collinsworth makes me mad. And I'm kind of like, I saw on Twitter, he is getting destroyed.
Oh, yeah.
Awful announcing, all of the destroyed. People are wondering if he had money on the Patriots, all that. They want to see the ticket he got from the window, all of this stuff. All I want to know is, where have they all been? Why now are you coming out with this, John? Have I not been complaining about Chris Collinsworth for months and months and how jaded and biased his opinions are? Where has everybody been?
You know why it's why now? It's the Super Bowl, and everybody was watching, and it was so plain and clear, and everybody could hear it. So stick to the NBA, doesn't bother, because I know that used to needle you a little
bit. You
know,
I had a rough week last week. I mean, we had a great week on the air, but I was kind of on one last week. I was a little surly last week. I was music snob times 1,000, and I'm just trying to chill out right now. I'm trying to get some woosah going on. So, yes, the stick to the NBA thing, like it won 2 weeks ago, it was like really rattling my cage, right?
Yeah.
Probably because the Falcons lost and all that. I'm in a kinder, gentler place, John. Good call, though. A
couple of things that get under my skin.
Stick to football, John.
For me, it's this one might be number one in this. You're on the Falcons payroll. No, I'm not. I get paid by one place. It's Entercom Radio and Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. I have never, ever received a check from the Atlanta Falcons. My opinions are my own. Rich McKay's not calling me. Dan Quinn's not calling me saying this is what you could say. I say what I feel. If you don't like it, I don't care. Our job is to give an opinion. It doesn't have to be popular with you. That is number one that gets, you're on the Falcons payroll. That's right. No, when they lost, I said they underachieved. We got on Sark. I get on Matt when he has bad games. The Matt Ryan hate, some of you guys are blind, and I know what the agenda is that goes to Matt Ryan. It's pretty simple. Here's some other ones. Backing into a parking space. What are you getting away in a high-speed chase out from under Colony Square? Drive your stupid car in. When there's 9 cars behind you waiting to park, park your damn car. When it takes you 11 times to back in whatever truck you're driving, pull it in the front way. Paul, you can back in faster than most people turn in the front way. That gets under my skin, making me wait. If we have a 7 o'clock appointment, don't show up at 7:15. My time is valuable. If you can't be there till 7:15, make the stupid appointment at 7:15. Don't text me 5 minutes before. Hey, man, I'm running 30 minutes behind.
What kind of appointment?
Doesn't matter, whatever it may be.
Is this in the morning or the afternoon?
Doesn't matter. Like, if you tell me you're going to be somewhere at that time, be there at that time.
But, John, we tell our bosses here that we're going to be here at 9 o'clock. And,
yeah, no,
and that's
I never
really
told
a guideline more
than
a rule.
They more told us that.
That's a suggestion.
I have to be here by 10 when the show starts, and I've never been late for that. So I'm good. I try to get here by 9. And the final one. We can be having a conversation about anything, and it doesn't matter. And people go, well, Miami still sucks. What the hell does that have to do with anything? I know I'm a Miami fan, and I know they've been bad for a long time. I don't need, when I'm talking about the Falcons, your random nonsense. That'll get your ass blocked on social media.
I get annoyed when people say long story short, because that usually means it's going to be a very long story. So,
have you noticed how I don't say that?
So with that,
I embrace my long-windedness.
No, you just go, I only have one thing that I'm going to add, and it's 14 more things.
One,
but that's
A,
okay.
One B, C, D, Cleveland, San Francisco.
No, it's like that scene from Back to School.
Yes.
Where he goes, I only have one question for you.
In 27 parts. I'd like to break you in 27 parts.
Whenever you're debating college football, and somebody drops a line, and they're obviously out of an argument, and they say, well, you didn't go there, so you're not really a fan. Drives me crazy.
That typically goes into the Miami equation.
My God. Because not only is it lazy, it's wrong. And look, I'm talking to you Georgia fans, too, because we do it. I've been guilty of doing this before. The more you think about it, I didn't go to Georgia, but I got the rejection letter on Georgia letterhead. So, by God, I tried, because I can promise you, no AD, no coach, no player will turn down a fan that is willing to spend time and money to support that team. So if you use that argument, you didn't go there, you can't be a fan. It's lazy, and more importantly, it's wrong. Another thing that drives me crazy, we are very blessed to work in sports radio.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean we have a basket of tickets in the break room.
Good call.
It's very annoying, and you have to be as polite as possible. Hey, Mark, can you grab me a couple tickets for the Falcons game?
You actually really don't have to be polite.
No, you don't.
Yeah, no, I can't. Hey, Mark, you work for the Braves. Why don't you get me? I need four tickets for the Yankees exhibition game.
Not four.
Yeah, oh, I had a former PD that requested 12.
Stop it.
His line was, well, Mark, you work for the Braves. You can get me 12 tickets. I need 12 good seats. And he's my boss. And I'm like, I might be able to get you maybe two. And he couldn't quite understand why I couldn't get him 12 lower level
tickets. He wanted a whole section.
To the Yankees, mind you.
Yeah, no
Yankees,
problem.
Cubs. Red Sox, Cubs, yeah, good Cardinals luck. All travel very well. So when people come to me and say, hey, Cleveland's coming to town, you grab me a pair of tickets for the Hawks, Cleveland? No.
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 Wait a second. And wasn't that Yankee game the first game at SunTrust Park?
It was.
Are you kidding me?
It was. So we have a very, very cool job. Mm-hmm. But I'm telling you, I can walk to the back and grab some water and can't flip through the tickets. You know, I had those Super Bowl tickets just laying there by the microwave, but yeah. Nah, I just didn't feel like going. Yeah, I left them for somebody else. We don't have a basket of tickets here.
Preacher man, what gets under your skin?
Well, I got to echo that with Mark with the tickets thing. We've all been through that. Everybody wants tickets. You know, it doesn't work that way, especially here. Now, in Nashville, I had to run at the place.
And Preacherman, it's like strangers
yes.
asking you for tickets. Well, it's not like somebody you know.
I won't
it's
call
strangers.
Out by name that, you know, always ask me, hey, can you give me tickets to this?
It'll be somebody on Facebook that you went to high school with, and you haven't talked to them since high school.
If they were hitting me up from high school, that's going to be a little crazy. But don't talk about my kids. Don't talk about my wife. Your driving is terrible. And if you're a coach in any league that my kid plays in or a karate instructor and you disrespect my children, you will definitely have to deal with myself.
Love
that
it.
Karate instructor's going to get it, Paul. I just got that feeling.
I personally should just let the wife loose on him because she was there and she was more mad. I just get more mad every time I have to hear about it.
So what is this? Is this bump?
This
bumper
is
music?
Woosa music.
Woosa, a little spa music.
I love it.
Get back in your happy place.
I love it.
I can't wait.
Wife
and I are getting a couples massage next week.
Nice.
Valentine's Day, and then we have to go see 50 Shades of Crapper.
With no nudity.
Well, there'll be nudity. Yeah, dude, I'm married. Take a break. We come back. We'll continue this, What Makes You Mad, and the Hall of Fame. You'll hear some sound from guys getting in that made them happy. Maybe some tears of joy on 92.9 The Spa.
The Bunker Mentality with Andy Bunker.
Pretty good first couple hours of the show for a late night edition on a Friday.
By the way, that's a pet peeve of John Michaels as well. We were just talking about that. If you're doing that, stop it. If you're on your phone and you are sleeping a little bit and a gap is created and somebody with their blinker on moves over into the gap and while they're doing it, you speed up to get behind them, is some sort of frustration gesture that, oh, you're taking my spot. I mean, get over it, man. You left the gap. You're the one that fell asleep. It just really, really bothers me, man. I mean, what? Are these people legitimately trying to get in a fender bender? Dude, you are rear-ending me. Your insurance claim will occur there, not mine. Anyway, we're the Rick and John Show here, throwing our midday party on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We got to get to M.O. here pretty soon. He's got a really cool story off the text line, the Solomon Brothers Diamond
you
text
do.
Line.
I mean, okay. Here's a humble brag for you real quick. I don't know if you're going to bring this up.
Pat yourself on the back
moment. I'm going to throw my shoulder out trying to pat myself. This coming in from the 678. 4 years ago, I came when me and David Green, we were doing our show up at Famous Joe's in Buford. 4 years ago, I came to see David Green's show, met M.O., and he asked why I was there alone, said my friends were at the Jason Aldean concert. M.O. pulls out his wallet, gives me a ticket to the show, and says, go join your friends. One of the coolest radio moments ever. I guess Yankees fans are more hardcore than Jason Aldean fans.
That's awesome.
I remember
way
that
to go,
dude. He said, came up to see the show, had a beer, and I said, what are you doing? He said, all my buddies down to Jason Aldean right now. And I was going to go to the concert, was never going to be able to make it from Buford down to wherever it was. I said, man, go have a good time. And he was very appreciative and been a fan of the show ever since. So, dude, put your name. I don't know who you are, but I'm glad you had a good time. And remember that.
Dude, that is awesome. I did that once for some UFC stuff. There was a fan that showed up. He had actually purchased counterfeit tickets, unfortunately. Got to the door at Phillips Arena, and he had counterfeit tickets. They wouldn't let him in. I gave him my tickets. I ended up not going to the UFC event. I said, dude, I feel horrible. He had spent like $400 or $500. I said, I feel horrible for you. I had tickets for myself. I said, bro, go. You know, we are blessed again at times to be able to go to a lot of sporting events. I work a lot of them. I have a media credential. But there are times that we do get tickets to stuff for ourselves. If I can help a fan out and I've got something, I'll absolutely give it to you. But don't call me and I've never talked to you before and go, hey, do you have tickets to the Super Bowl next year? No, I don't.
Dude, you remember we played broom hockey in seventh grade?
I love broom hockey.
Bro, dude, I haven't talked to you in 20 years. How's the family? Your family? Listen, the Jaguars are coming to town. Listen, I need some tickets. That, do you ever have tickets and you try to give them away? And people are very suspicious.
Mm-hmm.
From time to time at a Braves game, I'll get in, have a pair of tickets. And I'll be like, you know what? I'll go out to the box office.
Right.
Find a dad and a son. Find a date night something and just give them the tickets. Hey, how you doing? You all about to buy tickets? Yeah. No, I got – you can have these. How much? Nothing. You can have them. What's the catch? This isn't a timeshare. Right. I'm trying to get you inside of the building.
I'm not giving you a bottle of tequila.
And even then, they're walking away very suspicious. Like, man, I don't trust this at all. But
So we're talking about things that get under our skin a little bit, and we're going to bleed into a Hall of Fame discussion here. We're talking about people that think, we have all access to all these tickets, like we're some ticket broker, right? Like we're the human StubHub, and we don't. And the other thing that's related to that is people that'll see me at a Chick-fil-A, people that'll see me at a Macy's, and they're like, yo, man, whatever. I'd love to come in and see where you work sometime. I met you 3 minutes ago. I'm not taking you to Turner Sports. I'm not taking you to 92.9.
Yeah, Rick won't even take us to Turner Sports.
I am not doing that. I just met you.
Look, we can't even bring our kids up in here. What are you talking about? You got to get a note from the president of the company.
Y'all get some sensibilities about you, man.
Hanging out, and they're like, oh, hey, what's up, man? So Rick and John here? Where are they at? Dude, I'm at Kroger in Smyrna. No, we all don't hang out together on a Thursday after the show.
Yeah, we don't have a frat house at home where we're each bunking. Like, Paul's got to sleep on the top bunk.
That'd be
awesome,
doesn't
happen.
Though.
No, it wouldn't. I like my personal space, and
I'm just saying, us four in a frat house, like in a theoretical world without wives and restrictions.
From that place.
Oh, God. Dude.
We would get it in.
Oh, I got Urania so good yesterday. I lit her up. I had,
What are you saying, John?
Had a little
rough. Was the door closed?
No, I had a little roughage, and we were laying on the couch, and and it smelled horrible. She was not
happy. Why are you bragging about this?
Because it was great. Because she got me the other day during the Super Bowl. She did a drive-by, so I had to do some get-back.
Okay, and if she were an Eagles fan, she would have gone down there with her mouth and tried to, like eat the air. Tried to eat the air.
I'm going to read this text on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, and we're going to talk some Hall of Fame of the NFL. Guy said, hey, I love my girlfriend to death, but the one thing that drives me insane is she hates when I hang out with my friends. For example, I wanted to play golf with a couple of buddies of mine, and we were smack-talking beforehand. 50 juice boxes on it, and we were ready to go. As I'm about to leave, my lady is mad at me because she wants me to stay with her. She ends up winning, and I lost 50 juice boxes. I cannot give out much relationship advice. In a scenario like that, you have to set the ground rules early. There are times as a man you just have to go, I'm going with my friends. You can be in your feelings. I'll be home when I'm done. Now, I'm not saying every weekend you go to, you go to the Pink Pony and you're bringing home Sapphire or you smell like Sapphire later in the night. You can't do those things. But there are times as a guy you've got to be able to go play golf and not get crap for it.
So he just said girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say wife and
nope.
I've got three kids. That's when it becomes really hard to just tap out and go, oh, wifey, I'm going to be gone for the next 7 hours drinking beer, playing golf, and what's left of me when I return is probably going to need to take a nap.
Sure.
That's when, wifey or the or your better half has a point.
Sure.
But if it's just boyfriend, girlfriend, and you want to go play golf with your boys,
yeah.
Go play golf with your boys. And if she's butthurt about it, you might need to flick her off your shoulder like a ladybug. Just saying. That's relationship advice from your boy, Cam.
One last story, and Mark's talking about giving stuff away, and then we're talking some NFL. So we went to that snow mountain up at Stone Mountain. Well, we were buying a family pack, and you had to buy it in like a block of 10 or 12 or whatever it may be. Our numbers were off because Urania's family was here, so we ended up having like two extra tickets. It was cheaper for me to buy the bulk than it would have been to buy individual, and I did the same thing. There's people in line, and I said, hey, I've got two tickets with wristbands, everything. You guys can have them. And I had like four families go, no, thank you, to go up to go pay full price. And then there was finally, it was a dad and a son and the wife. And I said, look, I got two free passes. Get you in the entire park. And they were like, for what? I said, it's Christmas and I have two extra tickets and I'm not going to be a jerk out here to sell them. And they finally go, are you sure? Yes, I'm trying to go in the park with my kid, and they finally took him. But it was begrudgingly. It took like six or seven families before somebody took him.
And everybody, they stare at you, and they'll take him back to the family. That bald dude over there with the
just for Men Beard, gave me these tickets.
Wow. And the multiple Miami tattoos.
Okay, we'll walk in, but keep an eye on him. Make sure he doesn't run off.
It was funny. The family did tell to me, Miami still sucks. And I go, all right, you know what? I'm going in the park right now. Let's talk some Hall of Fame. Did the NFL get it right this weekend with the guys they inducted into the Hall of Fame? Randy Moss, Terrell Owens, Brian Dawkins, Brian Urlacher. Who's the last name? Ray Lewis. How could I forget about, you know, Hall of Fame U? That would be the University of Miami getting another player in the Hall of Fame. I only have one person that should have got in that did not.
And I know who it is.
And that's Edgerrin James.
I knew you were going to say
and
that.
And there's no reason Edgerrin James is not a Hall of Famer right now.
He will be. He's going to have to wait, obviously. And Edge probably got iced out by Terrell Owens. John, I want to talk about what this means because I have a theory on this. Social media has been really outspoken in terms of Terrell Owens should be a Hall of Famer. Terrell Owens has been really outspoken in terms of he should be a Hall of Famer. So the committee, I think it's 50 writers get in a room the night before the Super Bowl, and they figure this out. John, I thought that the committee was tone deaf. Mm-hmm. This to me is proof that they're not. Because you've got TO campaigning, you've got analyst campaigning, you've got other Hall of Famers campaigning, you've got social media campaigning. And, John, I think that the swell of that got so big and undeniable that the Hall of Fame committee had to vote Terrell Owens in. Now, Terrell Owens should have been a first ballot Hall of Famer, but because the writers held grudges against him for a variety of reasons, they made him wait. And I thought they were going to make him wait again, but this is proof to me that going forward, the committee is not tone deaf, and they are going to be a little bit more influenceable going forward. Now, conversely, John, the baseball writers, I believe they are tone deaf. I believe they are in their basement, they are in their office, they are in their shed, and they're doing their thing. I don't believe that they are going to be persuaded or influenced by social media and other people campaigning. I think the football guys are, though. So I think this is a good look for Edgerrin James's, Isaac Bruce, John Lynch, any of these near guys who start getting campaigned for outside of that room. I think it's going to eventually help them.
I think what ended up happening with Terrell Owens is they looked and go, there is no near. He was a no doubt, should have been in the Hall of Fame 2 years ago guy. These personal grudges are crap when it comes to vote. Either you're a Hall of Famer or you're not. And there are players. Terrell Davis was an arguable player, whether he should be in the Hall of Fame. And that just had to do with the shortness of his career. If you're a media member or you're somebody voting and you go, oh, Terrell Owens shouldn't be in because he was a jerk to me one day, you shouldn't be voting for the Hall of Fame. Terrell Owens was a no doubt about it 100% Hall of Famer. And one of the things that's cool about when they do the Hall of Fame to me, Rick, is all the videos that they put out about guys getting in. And they do the Mr. Baker walks up and knocks on the hotel door. And I wanted to hear a couple of these because these are emotional and this is raw and it's all of this stuff. But let's start with Randy Moss, who might have been the most emotional of anybody this weekend, talking about being excited to get into the Hall of Fame.
You're going to hear a lot. And I'm going to try to just keep everything to a minimum. But I'm telling you, man, I started this game at 6 years old and never imagined that I'd be here, you know, putting on the Hall of Fame jacket. So now that this time has come, I'm retired. Now I can put this jacket on. It's just a blessing from up above. And I just can't wait to celebrate with my family.
He's probably the second best receiver that's ever lived behind Jerry Rice. He was unbelievable. This is the one I want to hear, though, from Randy Moss. He's on the set of NFL Network, and he gets compared to Jerry Rice. And listen to the response.
I mean, when you play the position, and he's the guy that we're aiming for.
Yeah.
And so it just felt good just to play a 14-year career and just to hear from Jerry Rice. It really was. So I'm sorry, y'all. Y'all gotta forgive me.
No, don't apologize for that.
It's just been a long journey, man.
Yeah. And,
you know, I just want to give a shout out to everybody back in West Virginia, man. Back in my country hometown, around West Virginia, man. Y'all see how emotional I am. It's been a long road. It's been a long journey, man. It's been a lot of bumpy roads, man. But I wouldn't not change it for anything, man. First about a Hall of Famer. Other than serving the man upstairs and loving my family, man, this is the best that they can ever give me, man. First ballot, man. I don't know what else
I can
say.
You did it.
Good for Randy Moss, man. My favorite Viking of all time. Him and Chris Carter, boy, it's a coin flip. I love both those dudes. And I would love both those dudes if I didn't grow up a Vikings fan. CC with the toe drags and all the amazing catches. Randy Moss, John, like Jerry Rice from a consistency standpoint is definitely the GOAT among wide receivers. Randy Moss is probably like the most dangerous electric wide receiver of all time. Like, he was more electric than Jerry Rice. He was a better deep threat than Jerry Rice. Jerry Rice was awesome at everything else, but in terms of the 50-yard, 70-yard touchdown, is there anybody better than Randy Moss?
No, he would throw that hand up. He knew when it was time to be gone, and if he was leaving, and that was what Randy Moss did. And for a guy that got such a bad rap for a lot of times, and there were times that he deserved it, but for him to be a guy that got a bad rap, to hear that emotion, it lets you know how important this is to these guys.
Randy Moss is one of my all-time faves, but he gave up on many games. Mm-hmm. Now, the reason he gave up on games, John, is because he would go a full first half with one or two targets and be like, I'm the baddest man on this football field. Why are you not giving me the rock? And then he would take his ball and go home, like during the game, kind of like Harden did in Game 6 against San Antonio. So I'm a little confused. I'm happy Moss is a first-ballot guy, but if the committee held all that stuff against T.O., why didn't they hold that against Randy Moss? It's a little bit inconsistent.
Grant McCauley next, talking pitchers and catchers on 92.9 The Game.
Sometimes you still think you're chasing something. You still think you're chasing something. To chase this, to finally hear that knock on that door. I couldn't stop a tear from falling if I wanted to, because it's the ultimate.
He's not a kid anymore, but I think he's still a young big leaguer, regardless of age. He's still learning. I don't think he's reached his ceiling yet. And, you know, hopefully every year he can look back on that and learn from it. You never stop learning in this business, anybody.
Pitchers and catchers report on February 13th. First workouts the 14th. Braves will open their Grapefruit League slate against the New York Mets down in Port St. Lucie on February 23rd. In the NBA, the Hawks are back on the home court tonight. They'll meet the Memphis Grizzlies at Phillips Arena at 7:30 here on the Hawks Radio Network. And in MLS, a big weekend for Atlanta United, which hits the road for an exhibition match. The Five Stripes will head to Tennessee and take on the debuting Nashville SC. Kickoff set for 4 o'clock on Saturday, and you can hear that one right here on 92.9 The Game as well. Download the free Georgia Lottery mobile app for a chance to win millions. With the new app, you can play online, check winning numbers, and scan your tickets. The new Georgia Lottery mobile app. Keeping up to date on Atlanta sports as it happens, I'm Grant McCauley from the Kia Studios on your home for the Hawks and Grizzlies tonight at 7:30. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Atlanta Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Thanks for listening to Rick and John on 92.9 The Game.
You don't want to hype him, but you also understand he's as good a prospect as anyone's talked about in this organization. We're not going to be able to slow that down or stop it. The hope and the key for us is that we don't put too many expectations on him when he does get up there, that he's not coming in to save the team or save the season. We're just hoping to give him an opportunity to play and show us what he can do. And everyone I've talked to in the organization is very high on him and very optimistic he's going to do great things.
Alex Anthopoulos is the boss, talking about Ronald Acuna, and we have Grant McCauley, Braves and MLB insider, joining the party here, the midday show with Rick and John. And Grant, I thought of you last night when she said, blah, blah, blah. I saw that Todd Frazier signed with the Mets for 2 years and $17 million, and I'm like, shouldn't the Braves have been in on that? And, you know, last week or the week before, Grant, we were talking about, you know, Camargo and Ruiz and Austin Riley, and I totally agreed with your theory that maybe you go out and you get a Moustakas or a Frazier if the money's right for a couple of years, and then presumably Riley would be ready to take over, and what would it be, 2020? Like, I'm totally down with that, because getting a Frazier puts you in the fast lane, but of course he is now a Met. Should the Braves have been in the mix for Todd Frazier at 2 years and $17 million?
I think it would have been great if they could have gotten him there. That was the guy that I looked at in terms of short-term fixes when we were talking about the infield last week, that he just made the most sense to me. But being a Toms River, New Jersey guy, having played for the Yankees, being from that area, I think he wanted to remain in New York. I think that was a big part of this. The very strange free agent market that really hasn't driven prices up anywhere close to what these players have been looking for, that might have been one of those things where he said, hey, if I got to take a discount, I'd rather do it at home than be bouncing all over the 48 contiguous states trying to figure out where I'm going to play next year. I think that was a big part of this deal.
Grant's got the article up at 92.9thegame.com, the 2018 Braves positional preview, and we're talking about the rotation today. Here's what becomes interesting to me, Grant. We've now are going into year three of having prospects that are there that we're waiting to make the next step. Before we get into the entire rotation, which prospects do you think finally take the next step and become mainstays on the big league roster?
Well, this is the interesting thing about the pitching staff is that you had a couple of guys last year that showed up and that are going to be, I think, over the course of a full season, a lot of fun to watch. And I'll go ahead and go with the one that a lot of people probably a year ago this time had no idea who he was, and that's Luis Guhara. The big left-hander, made five starts last year. He has rocketed up top 100 prospects list across baseball. He was a guy the Mariners looked at as, you know, having a little bit of a weight problem, maybe having a little bit of an arm problem, maybe having a little bit of an attitude problem, a lot of different things and different reports that you get. Maybe the change of scenery is what he needed. He landed in High A, Florida, having never pitched more than 70 innings in a big league season. This guy made 30 starts last year between the minors and majors, threw about 150 innings. He punches guys out. He's got a dynamic breaking ball. He can hit 98, 99 miles an hour. This is a guy I want to see make 25 or 30 starts this year. On the other half of that, Sean Newcomb, who came up last year as well. That's another big lefty, big arm, great curveball, big strikeout stuff. These are the kind of arms that I want to see over the course of a full season. These are the kind of prospects that I think the Braves have been waiting on, and there's a whole other wave. They got some invites to Major League Camp this year as well.
Grant McCauley hanging out with your boys, Rick and John. I want to go back to Guhara for a minute because, Grant, a few years ago in a fantasy baseball magazine, I read an article, and it talked about, and I'm sure you this is on your radar, in terms of getting pitchers up to 150 innings, 170 innings, 200 innings, and it's got to be a gradual approach. And they had this study, Grant, where the guys that were fast-tracked and went from like 70 innings pitched up to 170 innings pitched, like 2 years later, had arm trouble, got hurt, and most of the guys fell apart. And it didn't work out because they were ascended too high to a high inning total. So that concerns me hearing about Guhara going from like 70 innings up to how many innings last year? 150?
150.
That concerns me a little bit.
That's not a big workload, though. I mean, if you're a big league starter,
but it's double the workload.
It is, but there are reasons, there are mitigating factors for why you bring certain pitchers along, and they can do all the studies they want. The bottom line is they have not solved arm issues, arm injuries, elbow surgeries, shoulder surgeries. It all depends on the individual person, what their work ethic is, what their regimen is, how they condition themselves, all of those things. And, of course, there's the random chance that you can be in the best shape of your life, and on a particular night, something just goes wrong. So I don't know that I worry about that altogether, but I do look at, with Guhara, as they brought him along, I don't think that they necessarily pushed him too far too fast. I think he more or less, and even at the age of 20, just turned 21, he kind of pushed himself into the picture last year by being so good that you couldn't just say, hey, we need you to slow down in terms of how good he was against every level. So they just kept giving him challenges, and he kept passing those tests. And at that point, I think you reward a player that's shown that he has had the ability to, you know, take his talent to that next level. And I think that's what, you know, fans are waiting on is to see, hey, we've heard a lot about these prospects. Now can we see what these guys do at the big league level? It was an opportunity to do it last year with Guhara, and I think that's a chance worth taking.
What's the latest on Aaron Blair? At 25, has that ship already sailed?
I don't know that it necessarily is sailed, but I know that Aaron ended the last year with a torn lat, which is a tough injury, obviously, for a pitcher that makes his business makes his living throwing. But with him and with Matt Whistler as well, they're both 25 years old. They're both guys that have had some big league time. Neither one of them have really been able to catch on and be rotation mainstays, especially Blair. I mean, Whistler's gotten probably twice as many starts in his big league career. But it is becoming a numbers game for some of these guys. I talked to Aaron at Chop Fest, and he said, look, I've spent my offseason working. He's noticeably slimmed down. I think he's probably, you know, we always say it around spring training, get in the best shape of your life because you better be, you know, showing off for your team and trying to make an impression. And with the numbers game they have this year, as you look at a rotation, it's got Julio Teheran. It's got a Brandon McCarthy. That's another veteran that you've got in there. Newcomb, Guhara, certainly guys you're looking at. Mike Fultonevich. Scott Kazmir is going to be in camp this year. Then you have Blair, Whistler. You've got Lucas Sims. You've got a number of other guys, including some of your top prospects that you're looking at. Kyle Wright, who was taken out of Vanderbilt last year. Colby Allard, Mike Soroka. All of a sudden, we got more
Ian
arms
Anderson
than you
as
know
well.
What to do with. Not in big league camp now.
Pardon me?
Not in big league camp, no.
But he's coming eventually at some point.
Years, yeah.
But so he will not be at spring training?
He'll be in minor league spring training.
Got you. Yeah. Grant McCauley in here talking Braves, talking Major League Baseball. I did see, you know, following Twitter that Shelby Miller won his arbitration case for $4.9 million. Did you guys see that?
I did.
Shelby Miller won his arbitration case at $4.9 million. How in the world does that happen? Has the guy thrown a ball in 2 years?
Yeah, he had Tommy John surgery last year.
I'm just saying, I I couldn't believe that.
It's a years of service based on where you are in the arbitration process. There's a pretty good chance, depending on what the ask was, he was going to win, and he won. It's a panel. You get one number the team gives, one number the player gives. They pick one.
Yeah, I just that was a little shocking to me. We're talking the Braves starting rotation here with Grant McCauley. He's got a great article up, many articles here previewing the Braves at 929thegame.com. Talk to me about Lucas Sims. What are his – because you mentioned, you know, you've got – first of all, is McCarthy – penned into the starting rotation?
Most definitely.
He's not penciled in, he's penned in.
No, if you want to look at as far as guys that are penned in, I put this in the article, which again is at 929thegame.com. You can find it. I've got the first five parts of the series going to be up. I'm putting out the bullpen this afternoon, but the rotation's the most recent part. Obviously, Julio Teheran is the Braves' de facto number one. He's been there for about 4 years now. Brandon McCarthy comes over. He's 34. He's in the final year of a four-year deal that he signed with the Dodgers, but he's only thrown 155 innings over the last 3 years combined. Quite obviously, injuries have kept him off the field last year. I think it was a shoulder. It was a little bit of a knee or hip problem, and it was also a blister issue. So he's trying to get himself healthy, carve out that spot, because really the Braves are looking at McCarthy as a guy that can come in as a veteran and give you more of what R.A. Dickey gave you last year, which was a competent starter every fifth day that doesn't overtax your bullpen. And over the course of his career, when healthy, I think Brandon McCarthy's been able to do that. I think the linchpin of this rotation in terms of what could make it go from adequate to good, maybe even better than good, is Mike Foltynewicz, because that's the guy on the staff that has the best stuff. That's the guy that for about a 35-start stretch from the second half of 2016 to 2017, about 30, 35 starts there, was looking like he was really starting to put it together. And then August and September happened last year, and it didn't seem like he had any answers. There were just base runners all over the place, and he's got to figure out a way to get himself over that hump and get to that next level, because the arm is there, the talent's there. He's just got to figure out the way to get from point A to point B, or maybe to point C at this point, because you're looking at third, fourth full year in the big leagues. Got to start finding some answers at this point.
How does Julio Teheran get back to the guy that he was 2 years ago?
I think the big thing is keeping the ball in the ballpark. And I don't know if it was necessarily a SunTrust Park thing or if it was just a Julio Teheran thing in terms of just not being comfortable, not being able to execute. He never blamed any factor other than just not making the proper pitches and not putting him where he wanted to last year, which I think is commendable, because he basically said, look, if those numbers on the board, that's my responsibility. I got to figure out a way to, you know, to put up better numbers. The big thing for him that I saw was over his last 11 starts, he was able to start minimizing those home runs. And you saw an ERA that was over 5 after about 22 starts. That dropped down to under 3.5 in his final 10 or 11 starts over the last 2.5 months of the season. So as the ball stays in the park, Julio Teheran gets more effective. It's funny how that works. But 2017, Julio Teheran was not the only pitcher that was dealing with a lot of home runs. The ball was leaving the park at a historic rate. I'm interested to see if that carries over to 2018, because last year was already, I would say, the year of the home run.
John, Grant may not like what I'm about to say here.
Uh-oh.
But as you look at the Braves rotation, it's all question marks, all five guys. And you don't have to question, will Julio Teheran start 30, 31, 32 games? That's not a question. The question is, does he have a 4.5 ERA or does he have a 3.12 ERA?
Sure.
And in terms of McCarthy, 150 innings over 3 years? Wow. Very, very injury-prone player. Folty, you just mentioned him. Gohara, huge question mark. Newcomb, I like Newcomb. I think he's a primetime prospect, but he is a question mark. So based on, we have five question marks in our hand. We're playing poker with our starting pitchers. We've got five question marks. You could say right now that we have one of the worst starting rotations in Major League Baseball.
I wouldn't say that at all, because I'm not necessarily judging them by just the questions that are attached to them, but more so the talent level and what they can attain, because that's something that cuts both ways, obviously. I mean, you have to be realistic about it. Obviously, we're not talking about 4 to 5 20-game winners here. That's just not the era of baseball we're in, but I think there is strength in numbers. I think that the five guys that you laid out are quality starting pitchers. Then you look after them, and you got some other arms, including Max Fried, who we didn't get to talk much about. That's another lefty who's got dynamic strikeout stuff. So as long as you have guys that are able to step in, fill those holes, and continue to keep this thing moving, I think that the Braves have a chance to really take some of this talent and turn it into results in 2018. And that, I think, is what you're looking for, more than just the question marks that may be attached to the individuals.
Totally hear you, but it hasn't happened yet.
Not yet.
Love the music, the outro music for the one and only Grant McCauley. Again, check out all his work.
Do you have a gesture to go a part of this music?
No, he does. Put you in a razor's edge.
Hey, this hour of the program brought
to you by
the
Exogen
Temporal Scanner Thermometer. He's actually going to try to put Rick through a table here during the break. We come back. We'll do the college football cheat sheet question of the day. In the Pac-12, which program, coach, and player have their stock falling? We'll break that down next, as well as there's a college coach that's getting a little extra coin on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9.
Rick and John have the latest news from college football and want to hear from you. 404-741-0929. This is the College Football Cheat Sheet on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, it is stock falling week in our College Football Cheat Sheet and question of the day. It's brought to you by RS Andrews. Keep cool. Get an RS Andrews Precision AC tune-up. Another way they make you smile at rsandrews.com. So the Pac-12 is under our microscope right now. Stock falling.
Your coach, favorite conference.
Program, player. I love the Pac-12. I love the late night 10:30 joints on Saturday that I've got to caffeinate for so I can stay up till 2 a.m. or 2:15 or 2:30.
Or
whenever these games end. I do like the Pac-12. I do like the Big 12 because we play fantasy college football now. If I wasn't a fantasy player in college football, I would be totally sleeping on those two conferences, right? No defense. They don't have a legitimate – well, Oklahoma was legitimate, but you know what I'm saying in terms of winning and getting to the playoff. But in fantasy college football, the Big 12 and the Pac-12 pay the bills, John Michaels.
Yeah, when Bo Morgan's strategy was to draft a lot of Gators and our strategy
– and SEC.
Yeah, and our strategy was to draft a lot of players from schools that maybe you didn't know, but they put up big numbers.
Texas Tech.
This is why we were in the playoffs and Bo finished 1-10 with his only win over Oregon.
Shots fired.
By the way, going to a Pac-12 game last year, and Bo and I went to thanks to our guy Mike Gillisley, who works for the Atlanta Falcons, we all went together to go see the University of Washington, the University of Utah. Such a cool vibe out there watching college football. And I know SEC fans love to go, oh, you know, we're real fans. Dude, those University of Washington fans were nuts. They love their team out there just like we love Bama and Georgia and everybody else.
I love SEC fans, but I got to take a shot. How many SEC fans are up at 10:30 watching Washington host a home game against Colorado or Utah?
Not a lot.
I'm just saying. I love y'all, and I'm not telling you how to do your day. But to John's point, yeah, and I'm not saying that it's as good as Tuscaloosa.
Because it's not.
I'm not saying that. But the vibe in Washington, it's rabid. It's insane. It's super loud. It is a legitimate home field advantage. I think it's more of a home field advantage than USC.
Mm-hmm.
At the Coliseum.
Dude, Washington was rocking and rolling.
Saying,
and
that was
a Saturday night game against a fairly mediocre Utah team. Real quick before we do the stock falling, Gus Malzahn getting broke off a little something-something by Auburn University. 7-year, $49 million contract extension. The contract was officially signed January 26th, but it just now is breaking that Gus Malzahn has got the deal and that it's out there. Full details are out, but a 7-year, $49 million extension.
I got to give props to our good buddy Barrett Salee of CBS Sports. I saw him tweet out, I don't know, a month ago or so, something about Gus Malzahn being a $49 million man. And I was like, I don't really under. So maybe he had intel on that, and maybe it's been made official now or whatever. I don't know. Bottom line is, Auburn fans that were butthurt with Gus Malzahn towards the end of last year, you know, did the season end the way you wanted it? No. You have a good football coach, man. You have a guy who outcoached Nick Saban on a Saturday last year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so like just.
And outcoached Kirby Smart on a Saturday.
That. But
last year.
But outcoaching Kirby Smart is like, it's one thing. Outcoaching the GOAT is another to me. So, but $7 million per, Gus Malzahn, your seat just got hotter. And I'm not talking about getting fired, John.
Yep.
I'm talking about pressure. And we played the pressure game last week, and Gus Malzahn was my coach with the most pressure in the SEC.
All right, in the Pac-12, whose stock is falling if you're a head coach?
David Shaw of Stanford.
No way.
Yes way.
No.
How many losses did they have last year?
Four, maybe.
Five.
Okay.
Five.
Yeah, David Shaw could potentially get an NFL job.
No, I get it. And I'm saying in my seat on February 6th, I think his stock is falling. It's falling for me. You lose last year at USC in week two, 42-24. Not even competitive. Then you lose at San Diego State, 20-17. Then you win five in a row. Your wins were against UCLA, Arizona State, Utah, Oregon, and Oregon State. Layups, you had to win those games. Then you go up to Washington State and you lose 24-21. You come back home and you beat Washington, good win, 30-22. You beat Cal, you beat Notre Dame, another good win, 38-20. But then you end the season with two L's, John. You lose to USC in the conference championship game, 31-28. And you remember the idiotic coaching decision that David Shaw had in that game. Went for a fourth down, should have taken the field goal. And you see the final score. They lost by a field goal. And then you get beat in your bowl game by TCU 39-37. I get it. If Matt Rhule is interviewed by the Indianapolis Colts for a head coach, David Shaw, if he put his hat in that ring, would be interviewed for NFL head coaching jobs. There's no debating that. But his stock is falling to me. They lost five games last year, and they were not good in most of their big games.
I'd argue that David Shaw's a top 10 coach in college football. And yet,
totally disagree.
Absolute top 10 coach. And we'll get to that throughout the offseason. For me, it's Mike McIntyre. Stock is falling. 2 years ago, he was a coach of the year in college football, had Colorado back in the championship game. A year ago, they were, you know, pretty nondescript. They're looking like a 500 team this year. I think Mike McIntyre, the stock, back on the decline for the Colorado head coach. Which program do you see is on the decline?
I mean, Colorado was 2-7 in conference last year. Had a tough time moving out of quarterback. Program?
Yeah, program.
Program for me is Washington State.
Okay.
I don't know if we both agree on this.
I do not, but they're there.
And it's an unfortunate, tragic reason why the stock is falling. If Tyler Helinski had not taken his own life, I'd feel much, much better about what they had returning, because you have to have a quarterback to run the air raid. You can have the best wide receivers in the country and a great running back and a great O-line. If you don't have a guy that can get it done in Mike Leach's system, the whole thing fails. So Helinski coming back would have had me feeling good about Washington State. You go from Falk. Helinski is now with God, hopefully, and we don't know who's next. So to me, I could see Washington State falling back to a 7-win status and out of the top 25.
Well, not just that. They lose Alex Grinch, their defensive coordinator. Their best player, Hercules Ma'afa, I believe is his name, or Mata'afa, he's gone. Tavaris Martin, their wide receiver, gone. They lose a ton. But to me, it's the Oregon Ducks. They were down 2 years ago. They seem to be coming back up. Now it's new coach. You lose Royce Freeman. Like, they're in the process right now of being irrelevant completely. They were a national title contender for 5 or 6 years. Didn't win it, didn't get over the hump, got to 2 championship games. Then they were 3-8. Last year they were 7-5. I think Oregon's got some issues. Which player is on the sees his stock falling in the Pac-12?
I agree with everything you said about Oregon, but there's one thing. They were 6-1 last year with Justin Herbert. Mm-hmm. So if you can get a full, healthy season from Justin Herbert, I could see the stock rising this year for Oregon. But
I don't trust Mario Cristobal, not as a head coach. Hell of a recruiter. Prove to me, and I know you were the FIU coach for a while, prove to me that you can win some games in a conference.
We're talking about stock falling in the Pac-12. I've got Jake Browning as my player whose stock is falling. He comes off an amazing season, the 40-touchdown season. Last year, the numbers kind of fell off the cliff. I looked at his numbers, and I was maybe going to make a trade offer for him in our fantasy league, and I'm like, why? It's just not, there's not much there. Ross is in the NFL. Pettis is now going to be in the NFL. I don't know who he's got to throw to. And, John, to me, he was draft eligible this year and didn't go. Mm-hmm. That tells me that his stock wasn't very high, and so I have his stock falling.
For me, it's just Los Angeles quarterbacks, and it's kind of a cop-out. But you go from Josh Rosen and Sam Darnold to relative unknowns. Good luck with that if you're Chip Kelly and Clay Helton.
The UCLA's guy's name is Modster.
Sure.
Not really sure. Modster. He'd be better in their bowl game.
He'd be better if he's a mobster. Hey, High School Football National Signing Day is tomorrow. Join us. That would be Rick and I, as we're going to broadcast live at Stars and Strikes in Sandy Spring from 10 until 2. We'll break down all your favorite 17-year-olds and where they're going. Hey, we come back. We're going to talk some NFL and specifically Falcons. Arthur Blank wants a Falcons-friendly deal for Matt Ryan. What does that mean? We'll talk about it next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.